Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will meet common ground and take it to the next level. This is your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This is a no-holds-barred show. My guests will have differing spiritual belief systems, and some will have no spiritual beliefs. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Tonight's special guest is Jeff Ferranini, who is an interfaith minister. And while I'm waiting to connect with him due to technical difficulties, I'm going to read the opening line from his book of poems, and it is called Star Songs, The Chime Poems. He quotes from Rebbe of Bastri.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Well, here I am again, and that was like a 1.5 minute delay. What's going on, Blog Talk Radio? Do you know those little buggers? When I tried to change the time of the show to 8:30 tonight, and I apologize to those who were expecting a 7:30 show, I was delayed in getting home from my honeymoon in Algonquin, Maine, so I trust you'll forgive me. They would not allow me to reschedule the time unless I paid another $40. How do you like that? So anyhow, Rebbe of Bastri says, "In my soul there is a temple, a shrine, a mosque, a church that dissolved in God." And Marianne Williamson, who is a favorite author of many, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God." And I'll leave it at that. It goes on. Let me introduce Jeff Ferranini. Jeff, glad you could make it tonight. How are you?
I'm very well, David. And thanks for having me on your show.
Well, it's a pleasure. I've been looking forward to it. For some reason, I thought it was supposed to be a couple of months ago. I don't know if we had to reschedule. But I had a little detour into the hospital in August that screwed things up a bit. Anyhow, I am a believer that everything happens in its own time for a reason, and that ours is not to reason why, just to accept that we are here and that all is good, even the seeming bad. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, one of my kind of favorite mantras nowadays is, "It's all in divine order, .. despite appearances."
Appearances can be deceiving, and everything is subject to individual perception, and no two people see the same thing alike. However, when you go into spirit state, you can be totally aligned and totally in touch with the other. What do you think about that?
What do you mean exactly by spirit state? I'm not quite sure
what I'm saying, I believe my spirit is part of God. And when I align with God and another person does and I communicate with them, chances are we're going to be in a place where we are of a similar mind, one mind, the mind of God, and we will resonate truth.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. That actually goes back to a word that I consider to be a very sacred word, namaste, which is from the Middle East and speaks about when we are, it's a greeting in the Middle East. So in Egypt, in Israel, in a lot of different places, this is a greeting. You say namaste. And what it says in a very simple way is, I greet the God within you, and the God within you greets and also me. But what it's also saying is, and I read this somewhere and I loved it, it said, when I stand in the one place where all is one, there is no time, there is no space, and when I meet you in that place, then you and I are one.
Beautiful. Well, I want to thank you for sending that book of poems. I just got it. I mean, opened it.
I also wanted to congratulate you on your wedding.
Well, thank you. And you know what else? I have a book positioned to be a bestseller that just came out on Kindle. The Balboa Press is publishing in paperback and hardback. Dr. Bernie Siegel wrote the foreword to it, and Richard Rohr, leading spiritual author, heartily endorsed the book and basically embraced the premise that I have, and that is, with God, all things are possible, especially healing from anything, and Bernie Siegel believes in that too. So that book is out on Kindle, folks. It's under my pen and professional name of David Clark with an E. You can check it out, take a look inside, read the foreword by Bernie Siegel, who's an amazing cancer surgeon who believed that we heal ourselves. And you can read the prologue, and you can read the opening part of the book called My Secret Shame, which talks about my history as a sex addict, no more. And Jeff's book, or poem book, and he has a book out too, and we'll talk about it. But as I mentioned, his book, poem book, is called Star Song, The Chime Poems. And Jeff, when I read your biography, I would like you to flip through the book, if you have it, and bookmark three pages. I would like you to read three of the poems rather than me read them, if you'd be willing to do that.
Oh, sure. Which poems is it you'd like me to read?
Okay, now wait a minute. Here we go. I didn't realize there were two pages in the table of contents. So, you know, I just...
and there's
just
no numbers.
I just go to what speaks to my soul.
Sure.
And let's see. I'm going to go to the end first, and that is Falling into Surrender.
Okay.
And let's see here. Let me flip forward here. I would like you to read A Dream of Days to Come and Heart Fountain.
Okay, A Dream of Days to Come. And what was the third one?
Heart Fountain.
Oh, Heart Fountain. Oh, okay.
I'm just going according to the titles. They all speak to me, but those popped out.
Okay.
And when I feel something like that, and I hadn't read them all, my eyes were drawn to those. And then the time has come. Because the time has indeed come, and I did read the beginning part of the first poem, and it speaks of peace. Now, my minister, Unity Minister, and we say a namaste there too, asked me a couple months ago if I thought we'd see peace in our lifetime. And I said, are you kidding? I said, we will. And she said, really? Well, since then, I've been involved with psychics and seers and healers and regressionists. I can do all of that myself. And I saw a door open, and I saw the future. And I saw that we are going to have peace and within 10 years. Do you think that's possible, Jeff?
You know, I think all things are possible through divine source. And it's really a matter of aligning our will with what each and every individual listening to this broadcast, and perhaps in future days will be listening to this broadcast, knows in their heart is the truth. And when we live in that truth, we don't harm one another. We don't lie, cheat, or steal. We don't, cause trouble in our neighborhood. We live in a way that, you know, is the paradise that our hearts move us towards moving out into the greater world. So do I think that that possibility is there? Absolutely. Do I think that the reality of that can come in our lifetime in 10 years? Well, I think the possibility is there. Now we need to get the will in alignment with that possibility. But yeah, I think that possibility is there.
How do we get the will in alignment in your belief system and your inner knowing? I believe inner knowing is more important than belief. What do you think?
Belief is more important than inner knowing is more important than belief. Well, I think inner knowing, intuition, some people call it, is a much maligned power that each one of us, I believe, has had some brush with in their lives at one point or another. But sadly, our educational systems, our teachers, our friends and family do not tell us or instruct us to pay attention to that little voice that speaks inside of us and tells us really where is the best way for our spirit and our physical body and our being to be directed and guided as we move forward in our lives.
I agree. Do you remember my question?
Yeah, didn't you ask me if there was a greater emphasis on trusting your inner voice versus beliefs?
I did, but what I had asked you before that or after that was
how
we align ourselves with God's will so that we can achieve that which we desire.
I would have to say, I mean, I've had a lot of people, you know that I'm an internet radio program host as well, and I've been doing it for 8 years, and I have sort of asked that same question to a lot of my guests, and the answer that I hear and I believe to be true is it all starts with entering the silence within and asking yourself the questions and listening for what the answers are, not the outside noise, not the books that you read, not the people you speak to, but your own inner knowledge and wisdom and truth.
Yes, absolutely. I would say one more suggestion I would make to people. If they remember the song Imagine by John Lennon,
that's
a wonderful place to go. Because one thing that we tend to forget is the power of imagination and visualization. And it's my belief and my strong sense from inner knowing that if we all took a moment to imagine and visualize peace, and we can do this with the media today. We can spread the word. Take a moment or an hour and see what happens. It could be an amazing thing.
Yeah, absolutely true. And I think that we really don't pay enough attention, give enough focus to our intention and our prayer and our visualizations.
Yes. I think intention is so important as a starting point. Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, talks about shooting off rockets of desire. And having absolute faith, they'll manifest. It's like when you were a little child and listened to the song, "When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true." Now, I think every little child that listened to that song either believed it or wanted to believe it. And so belief certainly is important. Hope, as I see it, is a stepping stone to belief. Belief is faith, which is a stepping stone to that inner knowing that we talked about. And there are so many spiritual vehicles that I will be teaching in a book I'm writing, Awaken to Your Spirit. A couple of the things that we're going to talk about, I'm working with some other collaborators, including the psychic and interfaith minister Mary Blake, who has graciously worked on the first six chapters, and then a radio co-host who's on my network, Beth Miller, is writing Spiritual Exercise. I keep it simple. 1, 2, 3. And we will talk about visualization and imagination, among other things. But for now, Jeff, how about if you start off with the first poem, and then I'm going to read your biography.
Okay. I do hope you're not going to read the bio from the back of the book of poems, though.
Bio that was on your website. Is that
all
right?
Okay, excellent.
Okay. Okay.
Because the other one's way out of date.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And by the way, are you willing to go until 10 o'clock? If not, that's not a problem.
Oh,
I have
until
that,
10.
I
yeah,
have that flexibility. Yeah.
I can go till 10.
Okay. We'll go up to 10 or whenever we mutually decide we have become complete in the moment.
Okay, that sounds good. So you want me to read this poem?
Please.
Okay. A dream of days to come. Peace lies within our grasp now. Within each breath breathed, nothing need change. Just allow peace to be. Like a bubble surfacing from a deep, dark sea. Head towards the light as hearts are called home. The place we have long sought whispers our soul's deepest knowing. Beyond the logic of time, beyond the heart of creation, stands the rapture of the sublime. Held within our fragile breath, within each breath breathed, our soul knows home awaits us. Even now. Even now. Even now, just breathe.
Even now, wow. How do you come? I'm interested because I write from a place of inspiration. How does your inspiration come to you?
Regarding poems?
Whatever. Let's examine each of the genres if it's different.
Well, for me, I guess when a poem wants to be written, I just kind of feel like a little tickle or something. I can just sense it. And I tend to feel like there's maybe a phrase dancing around in my mind, and I can get maybe two lines, but those two lines indicate something is pregnant and wanting to be born. And
I
so I grab for a piece of paper, I grab for a pen, and I start writing. And what generally happens is I have no idea what the poem is about.
Right.
I just write and write and write and write. And then when I feel complete, I stop writing. It's then that the real work begins. Because I find the real work is in the revision. It's reading what you wrote, and then it's sounding it out, it's speaking it out loud, it's feeling the cadence of how that poem moves and what is needed in order for that line to sing and dance the way you chose it to, or the way you feel it can. And then,
well, what I go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then, you know, I read the poem out loud after I've written it and revised it, and then see if it feels right.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, when I write, I've discovered what happens in order for me not to revise is that I talk it out loud as it comes to me. And then it's usually one take. Hasn't always been the case, but that works very well with poetry and with prose. When it comes to headier matters, I really have to do that because my head can complicate the bejesus out of concepts I'm trying to express. So I find that talking it out loud as it comes to me really helps. I don't know if you've ever tried that.
So, like, say, with some kind of word recognition software or something along those lines?
No. I'm just saying that as the words come to me, are inspired within me, come from source, God, whatever you want to call it, I say those words and type them down as fast as I can.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah, I guess I... probably use pencil and paper or pen and paper. Sometimes I'll type, but I think that just how it's done really isn't as important as that you each individual has their own process of how they bring forth, you know, what's being offered.
Yes, absolutely. And I am a strong believer to each one's own, just like the name of my program is entitled Different Strokes for Different Folks. Now, I had forgotten.
Right.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that you have your own internet radio program. And I am trying to flesh out my own radio network with 13 people, including myself. And I'm inviting the first 13 to come on Free for Life. And after that, I will charge what the market bears. I've been told it's $150 a month. I won't charge that much. I'll charge half that much because I am uncomfortable with the amount. That's $1,800 a year. But I'd like to ask you to consider coming on, and all you would have to do is provide, well, I already have your bio. I have your picture. I would need a description of the show. I would create a web page for you, and then you would just upload your podcasts.
Well, thank you for that offer and opportunity.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. I did not eat, so I'm munching.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Let me read Jeff's biography. He is a creator, producer, and host of Planetary Spirit, which is his internet radio program, which was started in March of 2006. He's shared production and hosting with Magdalena, and since June 2009, he is now sole producer and host. In 2010, he began broadcasting Planetary Spirit Live from Emerson Talk and Information Network, ETIN, the studio at Emerson College, a wonderful arts college in Boston. In November of 2012, Planetary Spirit affiliated with Dream Vision 7 radio network on the East Coast and their two West Coast station affiliates. In 2007, Beth was ordained as an interfaith minister after he completed a two-year ministerial program. He feels Planetary Spirit is his ministry. Here is a quote. "I believe Planetary Spirit offers an opportunity to connect to a deeper part of life and explore new spiritual perspectives. He's a poet and has written over 400 poems in the last 15 years, mainly spiritual. He self-published two books of poems. His second book is the one we've read from, Star Songs. It's now on a CD and contains 31 poems. And he's written feature articles on spirituality for 11/11 magazine and Body Brain magazine." Esther Hicks would love that. She loves ones. "Jeff is on the Council for Spiritual Connection, an interfaith organization producing annual events showcasing musical and spoken presentations to celebrate diversity, interconnectedness, and sharing spiritual traditions." Oh, how important that is, folks. "From an early age, he's been on a quest to find a house of worship that welcomes all faith traditions spiritually equally. This continues to be the driving force behind his work with Planetary Spirit. He believes his in-depth interviews and conversations offer listeners new ways to explore paths toward fully awakened human beings." And that is the goal of this show, to wake people up. We are not just young souls and old souls. We are all evolving at the rate we're meant to evolve at. We are all old souls, I believe. Old need to help the seemingly young achieve their full potential, because as Jesus said in so many words, we don't go home till we all go home. He said the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and he preached the doctrine of reincarnation, which was struck down by the Council of Nicaea. And that's when the books of the Bible were selected, and certain books and Gospels were left out, like the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Judas, and others. So as you can see, what we may think or believe based on the Bible is not necessarily what he taught. And I would ask people, especially fundamentalists, to do their research, because, folks, you've been barking up the wrong tree. That's all I have to say, you know. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions and beliefs, but if you have a closed mind, you are not going to evolve. What do you think, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Council of Nicaea was basically a cherry-picking expedition of all the Christian fathers at the time that would back the story that, you know, was the foundation of the Christian faith, which is the Jesus story and all of that. And reincarnation did not fit into that story. You know, it's interesting. If you look at Joseph Campbell's, I think it's The 1001 Masks of God.
Oh, I love Joseph Campbell. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Follow your bliss, folks. That's what he says.
Follow your bliss. Yeah, he's also got a quote right here that I could read. "We must be willing to get rid of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us." Mm. That's Joseph Campbell. And what he said is that if you take the stories of the hero, and I mean there's all these different heroes that he, you know, looking at mythology from all around the world, examined, and what he found was that if you distill it, there are something like 21 characteristics that every hero's story embodies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it usually begins with a miraculous birth.
Mm-hmm.
It then goes to that the child, probably under 10, does
mm-hmm.
something that indicates that they are, you know, not the usual child.
Yeah.
There's also a part where they have to go apart or alone and leave the people who, you know, they grew up with. They have to die, and then they have to be reborn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that story works well with Jesus. That story works well with Hercules. That story works well with Perseus. That story works well with hundreds of other heroic figures. And it kind of gets back to a quote I saw one time that this fellow, and I'm not going to quote it because I can't, but this fellow was writing about Native American writings, and he asked Native Americans about religion, and this learned Native American said, you know, we listen to your stories about your heavenly father being born without a mother or born without a father and just a mother. But yet, when we tell you our stories, you tell us that we're being silly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my feeling is that each birth of each human being is miraculous in its own right. But certainly, the heralded birth of the quote-unquote Savior, Jesus, who became the Christ, is one of the most miraculous stories as it's told, the virgin birth. And I had an interesting conversation with a massage therapist and Reiki master the other day who suggested that Mary may have been impregnated by an alien. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when have we actually been told the real history of this planet? Why do we not speak about Lemuria and Mu and Atlantis?
Right.
You know,
do you think
there's
Atlantis...
all kinds of historical information that, especially coming from Plato, a very learned ancient Greek individual who was one of the more wise individuals in his day, and he is the one that really left writings that indicate very strongly the existence of a land once known as Atlantis.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the myths that we grew up with, you start to see that it's not out of the ordinary thinking to see that people who left a continental landmass that was probably the size of America or so, I'm talking the United States, that
mm-hmm.
vanished in the Atlantic Ocean, went
mm-hmm.
under the waves, and it didn't happen like in a, you know, blink of an eye. It happened over a long period of time that this land was being slowly brought into the ocean. So to have these individuals from a very advanced civilization going in different directions, some going to the west, some going to the east, some going to the south, some going to the north, then becoming thought of as mythological beings, you know, it just doesn't surprise me. Now, if you want to complicate the story even further, what if the seed for the Atlanteans and the Lemurians were ancient astronauts from other planets, other worlds. You know, so
yeah.
You know, there's just there's so much we have not really explored or discovered or allowed to come to light that really I think is holding us back from having a fuller understanding of who we are as spiritual beings having a human experience.
That is lovely. Everything you said resonated truth to me. Interesting, the same massage therapist and I had a discussion about Atlantis. And we questioned whether that actually happened on this earth or in a parallel universe, of which there are many. But it doesn't really matter. I think the point that you made about the fact that we write off some historical accounts or accounts that have come to us through whatever means, that we are ignoring part of our, an important part of our heritage. I don't believe in the notion of sin. Sin, to me, implies shame and comes from shame. But I think that it is a shame that we don't open our minds more. And what I want to do, I have a wonderful fan by the name of Jill, who is psychic, and she thought the show was going to be on at 7:30, so she didn't tune in. What I'd like to do is call her and get her on the line, because she was very interested in being part of your show and perhaps talking to you. And while you do that, would you read the second poem, and I will call her, do a conference call, so I'll be gone for just a moment, and we'll return and hear the end of your poem.
Okay, so you want me to read my poem now?
Yes, if you just give me 1 minute, I want to get her phone number up here so that we don't waste airtime. Why don't you first tell me a little bit about your other books?
My other books of poems?
Yes, and you know, I'm sorry, I forgot the title, but I ordered a book from Amazon, I believe, and I didn't think it was a book of poetry, and I took it on my honeymoon with the intention of delving into it, and I did not have a chance to do that. What titles do you have?
I'm thinking you might have confused me with someone else, because I've only published two books. Books of poems.
Yep. Yep. And, it was Daniel Parmigiani, who's upcoming. What is your other book? What is your other book of poems, Jeff?
My other book of poems, I believe it's Poems of Light.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's great. I love the title.
Yeah.
Well, with that said, I'm going to play a song called The Light of Spirit, which is by a wonderful New Thought singer who's been on my program a couple of times and will be again, if you don't mind. Her name is Jennifer Farron, and this song is called The Light of Spirit. So stay tuned, folks, for a wonderful Light of Spirit, Jennifer Farron, and an amazing voice.
I shine forth eternally.
that's the amazing Jennifer Farron. And if you'd like to get her music, you can go to Jennifer Farron. That's FERRIN.com. JenniferFarron.com. And now I welcome back Jeff Farronini, who is an interfaith minister, and we're going to discuss planetary spirit and how we can use that to reach greater spirituality. Jeff, thank you for not reading your poem yet. I'd forgotten. I tried to get a hold of Jill during the song and just got her voicemail, so I left a message and invited her to call in, and she may or may not.
Okay.
But what would you like to say about planetary spirit?
Well, this may be a little bit not what you expected, but...
I love that.
Okay. I've been doing planetary spirit, as you said earlier, since March of 2006. That's about 8 years now. And I've gone through different changes with that. First starting as a solo host, then having a co-host.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. Your message has been sent.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
My
goodbye.
That was the message I was leaving for Jill.
Okay.
So please continue. We have to we have to adapt to things in this day of technology.
Absolutely. So as I was saying, I've been doing this for 8 years, and about 3 or 4 months ago, I had this wake-up call, and I realized, you know, I've created for myself a full-time job, securing guests, scheduling guests, reading their books, listening to their CDs, watching their films, and then interviewing them, and I'm not getting paid.
Right. I know what you mean. I know
so
exactly what
when
you
I
mean.
Had that realization, I just realized, you know, Albert Einstein, a very famous, physicist, said years ago, the definition of insanity is when you do the same thing over and over again, but expect different results to occur.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm asking the universe to support me in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing it magnificently.
Right.
I've been doing it for 8 years. And if mm-hmm. I want more of the same, all I got to mm-hmm. do is keep doing what I'm doing.
That's right.
So, David, I have not gone into the studio for the last 4 months.
Okay.
I have not scheduled any new guests. I mm-hmm. haven't read any new books. I'm presently in the process of re-shingling and restaining and painting my house.
Good.
And I've been doing that for a month now, and that's had my full and entire focus. So I don't really know where Spirit wants me to go next.
Okay.
All I know is that if I'm going to spend that kind of time and put that kind of effort into something, I've got to see more money coming my way than is going out at present.
How about
and
some money? Way?
Some money? Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, it's all been cash outflow and not cash
mm-hmm.
inflow.
Well, you know, more money would be better than some money.
Absolutely. I'm open.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
The fellow that got me into radio promised me the sun and the moon and the stars and said that I would be earning six figures.
Really?
Now, yes. Now, I earn nothing. I have earned money from guests that have been referred to me who've wanted to promote their products, books, etc. As long as they're in alignment with spirituality, I've been agreeable to that and have welcomed the money. So this guy has told me this, and what I told him today is, listen, I was a marketing major in college. All I need are the contacts, if you'd be so kind to provide them, and tell me how to go about getting affiliates, which he says is where you make the money. So when I find out, I will let you know. But in the meantime, I'd encourage you to join my network and upload your shows. And when I find out how to make the money, I will let you know. How does that sound?
Oh, you're saying that to me?
Yes.
That sounds like an opportunity. I honestly don't know how I feel about that, because right now, unless I get a signed contract,
right,
I'm not doing anything anymore.
Well, all I'm telling you is that you have access to free broadcasting and just upload your shows. That's all.
Yeah.
And get your message out there. This guy that I deal with does not, he does gentleman agreements, and I've paid him thousands. And perhaps it was a mistake on error in judgment, but I believe everything happens for a reason. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to, you know, come to a point in your life where you say, you know, assess your life and see if it's going in a way that you want it to be going, and then start making the hard choices and make the decisions that will start to turn the ship around. You know, R. Buckminster Fuller, who is the originator of the geodesic dome, he actually has written on his tombstone, "Remember the trim tab." Now, the trim tab is something that I think he invented. I'm not sure, but I think so. And it's when you're in an ocean liner and you're the captain of the ship and you give the order to the first mate or whoever it is at the tiller, the steering wheel, to, you know, go 30 degrees right, well, they turn the big wheel as far as needed in order to get the ship moving 30 degrees right. But, David, you know, and as well as I know, the ship doesn't move 30 degrees in a heartbeat.
It takes
a while for that ship to start moving in that direction. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you were to have that steering wheel be attached directly to the large rudder at the back of the ship, and it steered, you know, or veered, or moved with that steering wheel, the force of the water coming at it would shear that rudder right off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So instead, there is a little cutout inside the rudder, and that is a little miniature rudder.
Mm.
And it turns that 30 degrees or whatever, and very, very slowly, as the ship starts sensing that it's moving now in a new direction, the big rudder starts turning a little bit incrementally to meet the small rudder.
Hmm.
And the small rudder is called a trim tab.
Okay. Well, you know, I love metaphors. And I was thinking along the lines of spiritual development or human experience when you were talking about how that rudder can be sheared off. You want to explore that dimension a little bit?
That's fine with me.
Well, go for it. And I'll chip in.
Oh, so you're saying how does that relate to our spiritual progress as,
yes,
as
or our to, human our human experience, which I think can be one and the same if we allow it to be.
Well, I think it gets back to, if I understand what you're asking me to kind of speak about, it gets back to trusting your inner guidance, because
yes,
I think that's the trim tab.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
there's a lot of people who are going to say to you, do this and don't do that.
Yep.
And you're going to need to take that in, because some of it makes sense and some of it, quite frankly, doesn't make any sense at all.
As in total BS?
Right. So
yeah,
you need to weigh for yourself with your heart, which is the best way for me to go. Like, I mean, right now, here I am, I consider myself to be in the desert. You know, it's sort of the dark night of the soul. I've
yeah,
taken something that I've crafted over 8 years, and I've decided that I need to take a rest on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, somebody who maybe looks at that from outside says, well, you're out of your mind. You're going to lose all your contacts. You're going to lose all your, you know, credibility. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose that. And yet, I feel that unless I do something radically different, I'm simply going to be asking the universe to give me more of the same, which I'm not happy with receiving.
Yeah.
So I think each one of us is asked to reflect and to make the hard choices and see where they take us. Or as Robert Frost, you know, in his poem, The Road Not Taken, I took the road least traveled upon, and that has made all the difference.
Yes. Hmm, lovely. I have the radio show that is broadcasting us, and I'm going to say goodbye to it. I'm multitasking. I'm cutting and pasting tonight's show on Free Spirit Broadcasting. We're one of the places where the show will be podcast, so I'll stop doing that. I totally agree with you. You know, we've been on the same page so far, so good. And, you know, ever since my first guest, she and one other were the only ones where we had some disagreements, and we didn't argue. We listened to each other's points. She happened to be fundamentalist, and my cousin, who I love dearly, who I've never felt judged by, but it's interesting. When I invited her to my wedding, to my gay partner, she said she would feel uncomfortable. And I thought, isn't this curious? Are you uncomfortable about family or uncomfortable about love? Or is it something else you're not coming clean on, perhaps an aversion to gay marriage, which I suspect it was. And so I digress. But let's back.
Well, I would also think if you just specifically said that, you know, your relative is a fundamentalist, then she's probably uncomfortable because in the Bible, you know, it speaks about that, you know, this is not something that is seen as being the right and proper thing to do. So if that's her upbringing, and
yes,
that's where she's directed her life, I would
yes,
certainly see where her discomfort would come, because
yes,
that's the belief system that she's chosen to live her life by.
Absolutely. And, of course, as fundamentalists would perceive it, it would largely be considered a sin. And, you know, they would quote from different books in the Bible, mostly the Old Testament, that was based primarily on historical traditions of preserving the Jewish race.
But, David, you know what I find interesting, too, when you say the word sin? that actually, and I'm not sure where this comes from, but I've heard it said several times, that it's actually an archery term.
And what it is
actually stating is someone who is missing the mark.
Correct. And that comes from, that's a direct translation from Aramaic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've learned
it's not as dark and foreboding as what the church tends to, you know, indoctrinate little children with looking at sin as being. It's really something a lot more gentle when you get to the heart of the original energies that were brought forth to promote something of looking at things perhaps from a different perspective.
Well, it speaks to me of the human experience. I mean, it's said to err is human, to forgive is divine.
Absolutely.
Know? And we could go on from there. But when you talked about darkness, I was thinking about the quote or opening line in your poem. I'm not sure where it came from. But it talked about darkness and light. And I would like to examine that in terms of the human experience and moving from darkness to light, or perhaps from ego to spirit. What your thoughts and feelings, beliefs, knowledge is connected to that?
Well, I think you're probably talking about the quote you read about by Marianne Williamson.
That's correct. Yep.
Which is at the beginning of my book of poems, because I personally think that's one of the, if not the most powerful quote I have ever read in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
And the sad thing about that quote is that it is misattributed more times than not to Nelson Mandela, because Nelson Mandela read it at his inauguration as the first president of South Africa, well, the first black president of South Africa. And if you look at that, even on the internet to this day, it's misattributed as being a quote by Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
But Marianne Williamson wrote that quote in a book called Return to Love, which was published in, maybe 1996 or so. And I think Nelson Mandela was inaugurated in somewhere like 2000-something. So it's obvious that Marianne Williamson was the originator of the quote. But getting back to the question that you asked regarding darkness versus light, I think if you really look at spirituality and you look at the truth about reality, you have to start looking at the fact that we are always looking at good versus evil, bad and good. There's always this dichotomy that's going on.
That duality. That duality.
Duality, exactly.
Black and white, right and wrong, good and bad, all of that stuff.
Right.
Good and evil.
And the way I look at it is, you know, when you start talking about spirituality, there is no time, there is no space.
No.
So what I like to say is, you know, God, if you get to meet him, her, or it, doesn't wear a watch.
Right.
That's man-made. Time is a man-made thing.
It's illusory, and it all happens at the same time. That's eternity,
right.
One moment after another, leading in all directions.
So, you know, it's like people will say, well, God loves the good people and, you know, damns the bad people. Really?
That's a lie.
Because as far as I can tell, God made all of the people. God made everything. There
and
is nothing that God, Great Spirit, Divine Source, didn't create. So which of it is bad that God made, and which of it is good? There is no good. There is no bad. There only is energy.
Yeah.
So when you start talking about darkness and light, it's simply for our human understanding of how we perceive the world as having a dualistic nature, of having a good or a bad or a right or a left or an up or a down. But God, Divine Source, the Force, only, you know, looks at it as all being good.
Well, it's said right in the Bible that when he finished creating on the seventh day, that he proclaimed it as good. So how could it be anything other than good?
Right.
That is very interesting, and we could go on and on about this. I had some other ideas on where I wanted to go, and unfortunately, I didn't write them down. I like to be very spontaneous and go with the flow. And, I know what I was thinking about. When you spoke of the word energy, I wanted to explore the word vibration. Getting back to Esther Hicks, she talks about living in a vibrational universe. And when I first heard a therapist tell me that it's all about vibration, I went, what? But when you consider it in terms of energy, the word that you used, it's either, and again, this is a dualistic, but there's either positive or negative energy. And when we align ourselves with negative energy, where do we go but down? You could say you go to hell, and that's what we create in this life. We're all responsible for the lives we create. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
So
oh,
when you go in a positive direction, you head up, and you can embrace things like joy, love, light, peace, harmony, creativity, all things good. And I like to stay right-brained because I'm more likely to head in a positive direction.
Well, there's a really old, ancient, I believe, Asian story that I think illustrates the point that I believe you're wanting to shed some light upon. And there's an old Asian man, a grandfather, and his grandson one day goes into the woods with a friend of his. And the friend next to the grandfather, another older gentleman, says, oh, your son has gone off with the neighbor into the woods. Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? And this is probably very bad. They might get lost. They might get eaten by a bear. And the grandfather says, well, it may be good. It may be bad. But we shall see.
There you go.
So
on that note, go ahead.
They're out there riding. They're out in the woods, and they come upon some wild horses. And the young grandson, he's in his 20s or so, he manages to lasso this beautiful white stallion. And then he gets a to bring the horse back into the village. So he comes back into the village with this beautiful white wild horse. And the friend next to the grandfather says, oh, your grandson has brought a big, beautiful horse into the village. This is very, very auspicious. You must be very proud of him. The grandfather's reply, maybe this is good. Maybe this is bad. Let us wait and see. 2 days later, the young grandson is riding the white horse and gets bucked off by the wild horse and breaks his foot. comes hobbling back with the horse into the village. And again, there's the grandfather with his friend. And the friend says, "Oh, your son has broken his foot with the wild horse. This is very, very bad." The grandfather's reply, "Maybe good, maybe bad. We should wait and see." 2 days later, the army comes into the village, and conscripts puts into the army all the young, able-bodied men in the village. But the grandson has a broken foot, so he can't be taken into the army.
Hmm.
What's the moral of the story?
Uh-huh.
Maybe good, maybe bad. We should wait and see.
I like that. Well, I had not planned on promoting Jennifer Ferrin tonight, but on the subject of good and bad, or seeming bad, I have a wonderful song I'd like to play, if you would indulge me, and it's called "Throw It All Away." And guess what she's talking about, throwing all away?
Bad energy?
Whatever is seemingly bad. And it may play, it may not. I don't know. It may play when we're talking. It looks like it's playing now, but it's not. And that's what happened to my intro. So let's continue talking. I'll tell you what. Would you be willing to read your last poem? And if she comes in, I trust she'll come in at just the right moment. Well, we can take a station break and either continue on or start over.
My last poem or the second poem? Because I haven't read the second poem yet.
My goodness. Well, let's not jump ahead, David. Let's do number two. Because I really love the name of that one in particular. That was the first one I was drawn to.
Okay. Heart Fountain. All right. Heart Fountain. There is a light within, yearning, bursting to be free, to explode heavenward like a mighty fountain thrusting upward its tall, thin, proud streams, illuminated, glowing, blazing forth its sacred light, swirling inside radiant strands of water-filled light, raining down over me, pulsing through my heart, this endless love I feel, have felt since such a wee child, comes over me in waves, tears of gladness and peace, sanctifying me, washes me, cleanses me, purifies my being, thoughts and deeds, makes me like that fountain always lifted higher, lit from within in eternal joy of being, lifting those around me to a higher vibration, a of love filled radiant peace.
Wow. What would eternal joy of spirit mean to you?
Eternal joy of spirit?
Yes.
Would be stepping into the highest vibration I can imagine, which is one of pure, pure, pure joy and love.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So no highs, no lows, just that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. What does a state of grace mean to you?
Grace has always been a very interesting concept to play with. If you look at the Catholic perspective on that, there's books and books and books and books written about a state of grace. Myself, the way I look at it, I would say it is a unexpected gift of being introduced to a higher vibrational awareness and allowing the heart to open to the deepest truth that one can have, perhaps even going beyond human understanding, to be embraced by the love and the light of God, Great Spirit, Divine Source.
Well, you know, throughout history, and certainly in the Bible, and through the example of Jesus, stories were a wonderful way to illuminate people or get them to open their minds. He used parables, largely. But I have found, just through my own writing and sharing my own story, how powerful that can be. And I think we all have a story. We all do. There's no question about that. And it is in the sharing of these stories, experience, strength, and hope, as they would say in 12-step programs, that we touch other people at a feeling level, at a spiritual level, where they can resonate with us and perhaps even learn from our experience so they don't have to go through the same pitfalls.
Right.
Are you willing to share any examples of grace in your life?
Well, that's an interesting question. Sure. I think really what has started me, or what started me on my path to having a yearning for a church, a temple that would embrace all faiths, came when I was 13 and a half years of age. My parents were, at that time, considered a mixed marriage. My father was Catholic and my mother was Lutheran. And because my father was Catholic, when my parents were dating, my father said to my mother, you know, if we were to get married and have children, they would have to be raised Catholic. How do you feel about that? And my mother, being young and in love, said, oh, that would be okay with me. So I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. And then years later, my parents got divorced when I was 13 and a half years of age. Well, at that time, being divorced meant by the Catholic Church that you were all but excommunicated. My father was told he was no longer welcome at the church service because he was now going to be a divorced Catholic. So what happened was I would meet my father along with my sister, and he would drop us off at the side door of the church. We would go in and go to the service, and then we would meet him in the parking lot after the service was over because he was no longer welcome to the church. So about a month or two later, my sister, who's 2 years older than me, I was told my parents, you know, I'm a big girl now. I can make my own decisions. I'm not going to church anymore. So I would meet my father on Sundays. He would drop me off at the side door of the church, and I would go to church by myself. So this one beautiful day in June or July, beautiful blue sky, warm sunny day, there I am, dropped off by my father, heading towards the side door, opening the door, and I have the door maybe a quarter of the way open, and I hear a voice. And the voice says to me, what are you doing? And I thought to myself, well, here I am at a church. I've got the door a quarter of the way open. if I'm being contacted by spirit, why did I get the dumb one? What do you mean, what am I doing? So at that point, this man and woman come behind me, and they said, are you going into church? And because I had the door only a quarter of the way open. And so I opened the door wide. They walked through. And as I'm holding the door, I hear the voice a second time. And it says to me, you don't like going to church, so what are you doing? Now I had a completely different feeling about that voice. And with that, I released my hand from the handle of the door, watched it close, walked down the sidewalk to the larger sidewalk, and looked up into the sky and the white puffy clouds, and I said aloud, God, I will join the first church that welcomes all faiths. And I have not been back since.
Beautiful. Well, you know, I haven't had a voice speak to me along those lines, although I have had a voice tell me many amazing things. And it's not always in words. I receive a lot of revelations, and I have since I've woken up out of multiple addictions from which I am totally healed, contrary to the popular belief that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I used to drink a case of beer and sometimes a bottle a day. Now I can have a drink a day. And as a matter of fact, I'm having a White Russian now, and I'm enjoying it immensely, and that's all I'm going to have because it's making me just the slightest bit tipsy, and I do not like being drunk. So there. But what I wanted to say is that I think that I believe and know that if somebody lets go and just breathes, as your first poem said, meditates upon whatever thought might be troubling them or might be pleasing them, that they will receive an answer, and it may not come in words, but that is how God communicates with us. When we meditate, God speaks to us. We pray to God, and I would encourage people to use affirmational prayer and to say it with all your heart and soul. Perhaps you could say, if it serves the highest good for all, or if you believe it serves the highest good for all, proclaim that. And so it is. Amen. And you can say, in the name of Jesus, Allah, Buddha, whatever you want, because as Jeff has said, he was looking for a church that embraced all faiths. And my belief is that all faith traditions are equally valid and that religion is only worthwhile if it serves your soul. And if it does not, I encourage you to run as fast as you can and to find a new relationship with God, because the God of your previous understanding, if it had any fear connected to it, is a lie. And I say that unequivocally. What do you think?
I think this might be a great time for me to read my poem, Falling Into Surrender.
Please do that.
The other day, I scraped my knuckles. Such a simple thing to do. I was about to enter a building, walking up the wheelchair ramp early in the morning, snow still on the ground. Before the front door entrance, a gutter dripped down onto the walkway. Steadily dripping, warmed by morning sun, an icy, crisp New England chill clung to the air. And then it happened. One moment I was approaching the entrance door, hurrying, not wanting to be late, when my feet flew out ahead of me, having slid on a sheet of invisible ice. For a second, I was suspended in space. Then came a hard thud onto cement.
Mm.
As I realized what happened, I laughed hysterically. Someone in the parking lot shouted, "Was I okay?" A smile and a burst of laughter gave my answer. I was stunned, shocked, and shook up. But most of all, I was grateful.
Mm.
I was okay. I never hit my head on the cement floor. No broken bones. I was okay. For someone else, this would mean days in a hospital, possibly a life-changing event. For me, it was a gentle message to slow down, be grateful for the small stuff,
mm-hmm.
and have a nice day.
Mm. Wow. You know what Oprah Winfrey would say about gratitude, and what David Clark says, or my real name, Cowdery, says.
Yeah.
Now, Pellet Cowdery. Were you not done?
No, go ahead.
I say gratitude is one of the primary keys to the kingdom. And if you are not grateful, abundance will not flow. If you are grateful, count your blessings. Abundant blessings will flow your way to a magnitude you cannot possibly imagine if you stay aligned with that gratitude. Give thanks for your life every day when you wake up. Count your blessings along the way. And just imagine what a wonderful life you can have.
Amen to that.
Let's see if we can throw it all away, not gratitude, but the seeming bad. Let's see if Jennifer Farron will play for us.
Trauma that can come from
That was Jennifer Ferren, F-E-R-R-E-N. You can find her music at jenniferferren.com. And we are going to conclude our interview with Jeff Ferranini. I think Jeff might agree with me that if it ain't good for you, throw it all away. That's what Jennifer Ferren says.
That's not bad advice in any way, shape, or form.
How about reading your last poem and we call it a wrap?
Which one was that?
Mm.
Or would you like me to choose one?
Choose one.
Okay. I'd like to read the last poem in my book of poems, Star Songs. And this is called New Day.
Beautiful.
Something magical comes this way. I watch as darkness slowly recedes. New light approaches my heart as it softens, shining, brightening within me now, whispering, half calling. So many are in need of help. Our planet faces tremendous change. All around signs of the gathering storm, while many walk through life half awake, unaware. This time of change keeps coming closer still, when what made sense will no longer apply. What will guide us when up is down and in is out? Bigger and better compete for no one. Material goods no longer matter. Can you even begin to imagine that? Maybe then we will be ready to reshape our world, brick by brick and stone by stone, until it is home to all of us. As we erase from our minds, this is mine, that is yours. Take the all-important step to realize and believe we are the ones we have been waiting for the new day, the first day, for the return of paradise right here on Earth.
Beautiful. Well, Jeff, I just sent you an email with my phone number. If you would call me in 5 minutes, I'd like to just kind of process our interview and talk about the radio network. And with that said, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight.
You're quite welcome, and thank you as well. It's really been quite a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if you allow it to happen. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.